You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Thanks for watching the Best Practices Show, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over the world. And if you're a dentist, and hopefully you're a dentist watching this, and you're trying to grow a great dental practice, you know it's impossible to do it by yourself, and you got to have a great team. Now, everybody can say that, but the thing that they're missing is how do we create a great team and communicate with them really well? And so today we're going to be talking about how to do that with communication rhythms with the director of coaching, a brilliant woman who keeps all of us in line and is an expert at how to do this in a dental practice, Leanne Fate from ACT Dental. Leanne, thanks for being on today.
Howdy. Well, thank you, Kirk Barrett.
Howdy. I always
laugh when I'm with my teams, like, you know, in Minneapolis or whatever, and I say howdy. They always ask me if I'm from Texas. Yeah. I'm not, just here from Cleveland, Ohio. So,
well, when somebody says howdy, I'm thinking they're pretty nice. They start out a little bit. Right. Howdy is better than hi, right?
Right. It is, actually. Yes. I liked it between howdy and good morning. It does communicate, speaking of communication, it does communicate a little warmth. So,
absolutely.
And you and I constantly talk about this, that there is so much messaging tied to how we communicate. And so I know that's what we're going to talk about. And yeah, that's probably my number one most favorite thing to talk about with dental teams and to keep in the forefront of our brain here, even at ACT, which is just intentionality in messaging, and then of course how that sort of flows into the boundaries of different types of communication rhythms in the practice. So we just did our Interact yesterday, which is fun. For those of you who don't know about our Interact, they're for our pro coaching clients, and so we talked a little bit about communication and messaging through our communication rhythms. So.
Absolutely. And today we're going to be talking about communication rhythms. I always want you to start with the why, but before, if people are watching this for the first time and they don't know who Leanne Fate is, I know your story and it's a very important story to us, but you know, if I'm a young dentist watching this, who is Leanne Fate? Tell us a little bit about your story.
So I live in Cleveland, Ohio, and I've been on the ACT team through quite a journey, years and years. I get to say years and years now. I remember when I first started with you, like in 2013, you know, my biggest concern, the question I was going to get asked is, how long have you been with ACT? And now we're, you know, going on our eighth year together, and started off in clinical dentistry and spent a lot of time in clinical dentistry, enough to know that dentistry stole my heart. But you know, the longer I spent time in clinical dentistry, the more that I realized what was really valuable to me was the way in which we communicate and the way in which you and I enter a relationship in our work or with our patients, and how impactful it can be when we really focus and shift our mindset around, like I said, intentionality of messaging. And so how that shows up in a dental team is through what we call communication rhythms. And so I'm excited to talk about that. I'm a coach. I'm the director of coaching here at ACT, and an awesome, happily proud team member to be here, because what we do is pretty amazing. So,
and you're pretty damn amazing. So you guys are going to see this here in just a second. Now let's talk about the why. I always like to talk about the why before the how. Thank so if you. I'm a dentist watching this, tell me why I need to be listening to this, because then I've heard it in every seminar. You got to have a great team. You got to have team meetings, but I've tried meetings. They're terrible, and I've done huddles and they're complaint sessions. So why is it important to have a great communication rhythm in dental practice?
I mean, this is sort of sassy to my style, but why would you not want to look at every avenue you can in your dental practice? Or it doesn't, even if you're sitting with your husband or your wife and you don't own a dental practice, you participate in a business somewhere. Having communication, having scheduled, clear, intentional communication in any organization is critical to identifying pathways to get to our purpose, pathways to get to our vision, pathways to improve our interpersonal team, you know, skills, team communication skills. But I would say, why would you not? And I know why sometimes dentists and business owners don't want to, because it's hard. And this is really where you have to sort of put your boots on and roll up your pants a little bit, because it is a little muddy and you're bound to sort of get stuck. You know, one of our great mentors, Catherine Itell, always talks about getting stuck in the mud. So you think of this amazing river flowing, clear water, but all of a sudden a storm comes and the water gets a little muddy, and you sort of fall off course and you find yourself stuck in the mud. And we talk about this a lot internally. Mm-hmm. Usually getting stuck in the mud happens somewhere in between what I thought was happening and what is actually happening. Mm-hmm. So we talk about E minus R there a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you and I, like, you now handle these, but when you and I did launches together, we would separate the teams. You have the doctors go here and the team members go here. And then you go, what are the things to celebrate? And what are the things that are wrong? And, you know, give us some insight. Whenever you said, it was the same answer all the time. Do you know what I mean? Like, always, what is it?
Communication. Yeah. And so sometimes it would have a title of communication front to back. Sometimes it would have a title communication back to front. Sometimes it would, I would say that if you ever had to place a bet, if you were to put teams together in a room and you were to say you're only allowed to list two things, okay, fine, three. Communication always shows up. No matter how hard they think of all the other things that are getting in the way, what teams want, even though it is hard and there is resistance there because things like this that feel somewhat subjective, how do we communicate? How do we clarify messaging? It's hard. We thrive in an environment where there is clarity in our messaging. And I think it's probably one of the biggest struggles for dentists and business owners alike, to be able to articulate that message with clarity consistently. I mean, we know that. We see this every day in the practices that we work in. But yeah, so if we're in a room with great team members who aspire to improve and aspire, and their dentist aspires to improve, I would say that, you know, one of the top three things is communication. So our job is to try to figure out, okay, communication what? Communication why? Communication how? And it's our job as coaches to partner with the teams and with the doctors to figure out what's the pathway that's right for this team to dial that in and get a little closer to where they want to be. I would say that let's just jump into what are those pathways, because they're not necessarily just, you know, these skipping down the hallway, having better talks. As a team, there really are three intentional, four, we talk probably about five different ways, but I'd like to hit the highlights of three for today's conversation. And one is, you already mentioned them, huddle. I would say that 99.9% of the time, teams that we're getting together with, you know, in coaching, that we start to partner with in coaching, this is the first thing that we touch together in our partnership. Not because their huddle sucks and not because their huddle is awesome, but because usually we have to go back to reset a small set of rules around, like you said, the purpose of huddle. What is the purpose of huddle? And you talked about this yesterday on Interact, the difference between what we do in huddle and what we do in team meetings. Do you want to share what we use huddle time for?
I got this from you guys. You know, the daily huddle is really about taking care of patients, patient care. And then the weekly team meeting is more about practice care. Now, the huddle, just to clarify, is usually done at the beginning of the day for most dental offices. Some people try to pull them off during lunch or at the end of the day, which I think is harder. They can still do it, but it requires that much more discipline. And the whole purpose of it is to get things done on paper before the day starts. It's a good rule of thumb to live by, even on a Saturday. I try not to start a day before it's complete on paper, because it's going to go better if I have it all thought out. And it's the opportunity where you're making a commitment to say, hey, look, we're going to communicate about how we do what we do today before we go to work. Because the whole idea of just showing up, throwing on some gloves and putting on a mask going, what are we doing today? That has circumstances, right?
It does. We tend to get ourselves in a little bit of trouble if we don't do, just like any other great team, they huddle before they go out for game time. And I think sometimes we can get stuck in autopilot in all of our work. It doesn't matter whether you're in a dental practice or what business you're in, you can be stuck in autopilot. And sometimes it's easy to just think, I'm going to come into work, I'm going to do my daily tasks, I'm going to go home. But what huddle does is it sets, I keep using this word because this is so important, it does set the intention for the day. What's our focus? What do we need to be attentive to? What needs some one person or two or three people specific attention? I just can't think of a team that wins without a huddle. And I would actually even challenge you as a coach, just because you have a huddle also doesn't make it good.
Yeah.
I have to say that, right? Because I meet teams all the time that say, we huddle, and then we come in and we observe, and I'm like, this is a great conversation.
Interesting. That's bad. Go back to that. I want you to go back to that. Because I'm watching this and I go, Leanne, we've tried huddles.
Yeah.
What would you say to me if I'm a dentist?
Well, the first thing that I would say is there probably has to be some, if you're telling me, if your body language and I'm interpreting is that they don't go so well or they're just not worth your time, I would ask you to go back to some critical agreements that every team should make. And they're really not about huddle. They're not about what happens in huddle. They're what happens to set you up well for huddle. And that would be that we start on time. We go back to some original business agreements. What are the things that we do to sort of respect our time and respect why we're here? We start on time. There's no sidebar conversation. We follow an agenda. We end on time. Even if we only did these four things, and I'm going to go back to rule number one is we start on time. And we do this here at ACT. We start on, so we do our huddles every day at 11:03 Eastern. Or 8:03 Pacific. And that's when huddle starts. So we have 14 team members. And if only four team members are on, huddle starts at 11:03. And we go in alphabetical order. And if you pop on at 11:04 or 11:05, we might have missed your name because huddle starts at 11:03. I think this is one of the things that any team gets sort of tripped up on, especially with meetings, is we're always waiting. We're always waiting for someone else to lead. So I love that we did this. And I think this is incredibly important for any dental team. I see it happen a lot. Huddle starts at 7:15, but it really started at 7:19. Why? We start to feel really pissy about huddles and they're a waste of our time because we're not actually honoring our basic agreements. And so that would be the first chunk of learning today is honor your agreements regardless.
Yeah. And I'm going to totally piggyback and support you because that's 1000% what she just said is that if you're not on time, it screams, I don't care. It doesn't matter what comes out of your mouth. Doesn't matter. And typically it's not the team members that are the problem. It's usually I'm the biggest problem in our business by a long shot. So to hold your team accountable to something you can't keep is just blasphemy to begin with. And then the second thing I would say is that if your huddle goes bad, just like and said, it's really a commitment from top down. It's once the leader starts to devalue the huddle, just stop doing them because all the motions after that are wasted. You have to continuously coach yourself. And that's why we coach Dennis to do this. Look, you got to make that important. It's like saying family dinner isn't important anymore. It's just a mess. Well, the kids are going to instantly devalue it and start eating upstairs. And that's a critical moment in your leadership. I mean, you got to set the tone for the day. And in every case, it's got to be critical, but also positive. Like, so I think it's critical that you do have those agreements, LA, in place. And these are things that we all live by starting top down.
Yeah. And I think, could we go on and talk about what are all the things we have to do in a huddle? Sure. But that's the meat and potatoes things. Those are the things that actually come easy to a dental practice. I always say to teams that we work with, you know what's important that you need to know for your day. I probably don't need to tell you. Maybe I can hit a couple highlights you haven't thought of, but it's usually these things we call boundaries that haven't been set around these communication rhythms, such as huddle, that cause the devaluing and the degrading of any one of these meetings. Whatever, we run late. I was just talking with a dentist earlier and and she was sharing that we're going to talk about check-ins in a second. And she had started the check-ins. And so the check-ins have a 30-minute timeline. They're between 15 and 30 minutes. And 1.5 hours later, she was telling me she was exhausted. And I was like, I think I know why.
That's a long check-in.
It's a really long check-in. And the point of saying that is that it's incredibly important to set boundaries. So I protect your time if you plan to be here for 30 minutes, and that I protect my time so that I can create value. And we can also create some conciseness to our check-ins. They're not intended to be, a long story of what once was or a long story of what it's possible. They're intended to be very scheduled and follow an agenda. And so we'll get to check-ins in a second here. But going back to the huddle and going back to schedule, the agenda rather. I do care what you talk about. You should probably talk about the most important things that you need to know to get through your day. And then I would also say put a period at the end of that. There isn't really any extra space. Like you said, this is about patient care. So it's Monday morning and we need to get through our day. So let's only spend the next 15 minutes of our huddle doing that. One other thing that I will say about some rules that I have for huddle is they don't last long. When I first started working in clinical hygiene, one of the doctors that I worked for had a huddle and I was like, yay, this is great. I hadn't done huddles before in previous practices. And it was coffee talk, which incidentally in the beginning I loved. It was like we'd sip for coffee and we'd have some
food. So you guys would show up and go coffee talk and like, what are you talking? What's going on with you today?
Happy Monday.
And did you watch the Grammys last night? Oh my God.
Truly, it was
there was a truck and it turned over, had chickens in it. The chickens were all over the highway. I had to get off on the service road and drive by the school. And don't bring up the school.
Some streusel or the microwave would be going off because somebody would be heating up their oatmeal. And that's fine if that's what you decide you want to do with your time. But when I go back to thinking about why do teams find, so little value in huddle most often, especially when they're doing the scratch your head moments, like why would I want to do huddles? We have to keep coming back to these boundaries. So anyhow, so we had a 30-minute huddle and we all, had our breakfast. But let me talk about the sides of that huddle that were really great. One of the things that we also did is we always talked about today, how it was going to go, where we might get hung up, where there might have been some open time, so hygiene and admin and the assistants could all sort of make sure that we were in this, we were playing in harmony. But the other thing that we did, and I do this for some of my practices that seem to find themselves somewhat disorganized in how they're looking forward in the week, we also looked ahead to Tuesday and Wednesday for only two things. Not like, oh my God, Sally's coming in tomorrow, crime. No, we didn't do that. Well, sometimes we did.
Yeah. Right?
But we looked at Tuesday and Wednesday for two things. Are we full tomorrow and Wednesday? If not, what do we have available? Oh, there's two hygiene availabilities. You know, there's two hygiene blocks open. We have a large crown prep that fell out of the schedule, and now that's open on Wednesday. And what that allowed us to do, and I was just talking about this, I think we talked about it yesterday on Interact, it allowed us to say, in today's conversations with patients when we were creating treatment plans, our language about urgency, our language about being able to get them in sooner, was we could sort of, you know, shift that and mold those conversations. And conversely, if we went ahead, so Debbie was the person who ran our schedule, and she was amazing. She'd also let us know when the next available hygiene block was open, so that when we're having conversations with patients for scaling and route planning, we would be able to either create the sense of urgency or, you know, shift that language, so patients didn't walk up to the, you know, front desk and have an E-R moment, right? So Leanne just said, you know, I have an infection in three out of the four areas of my mouth. She talked about some quadrants. And now you're telling me that she's telling me it's important, and you're telling me it's important, but I'll have to wait till December 12th.
Yeah.
So we needed to really be aware of that, because that was something that was happening consistently, as patients were expecting they'd get right in because we created urgency and then they'd have to wait. So I do think that's important in huddles for sure.
Absolutely. And the moment, the thing that she's talking about, E-R moment, is expectations minus reality equals conflict. For those of you that, if you've ever been to anything that we talk about, it's about matching those up. Sometimes you have to lower expectations, but really consumers, patients, everybody has to less conflict when expectations and reality don't meet. And I absolutely love what you're saying, because the other important thing to remember is that we think communication, a lot of times we think we've communicated that when we haven't, and communication is the responsibility of the sender of the information. So this becomes the time where you are extra clear about what's happening here. Where do I want that? Here's what I want here. Absolutely.
It's how we prep. And we also looked for lab cases. We also looked ahead to make sure that there were patients. This comes up a lot in my conversations and coaching, is a lot of frustration around. I got a text from a doctor last week saying, like, how frustrating it is for the other partner doctor in the practice that she had a patient come in, seated the patient. Oh, this was so an E-R moment. Seated the patient. The assistant goes to grab the lab case that hopefully came in. And not only was the lab case not in, the lab had called because it was stuck at the lab, needing clarification from the doctor. Meanwhile, the patient is sitting in the chair. So I know that practices that might struggle with their lab case system may benefit from just looking ahead Tuesday and Wednesday to see, are we ahead of schedule for lab cases? So it reduces the chance we have E-R moments. I'm glad you said that, because we use that equation like it's just common language.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we like, I say E-R all the time. So, okay. So that's,
I use it at home all the time. So that's huddle. Oh, what are some of the other communication rhythms when you're working with a practice that are critical to improve organizational health and communication?
Yeah, so I think that the second thing that is an absolute essential, and for us at ACT, it's a non-negotiable. If you work with us, we implement team meetings, not team meetings once a month, not team meetings every 2 weeks. We have weekly team meetings.
Wait, every week? For what, 15 minutes?
Yeah, just 15, like 12.
No.
Amount of time, 2 hours is usually what we do, which I was just with a perio practice last week. And when I was telling them about our meeting rhythms, I said, I did this. All right, wait for it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, 2 hours. And they're like, that's okay. And I was like, every week. And I was like, and it's non-negotiable, meaning you can't say you want to improve organizational health. You can't say you want to create better efficiencies with your system and then fly the plane and try to fix it while it's midair. And you taught me that. I mean, you cannot fix the plane midair. We got to land the plane. We got to park it. We've got to assess it. And then we go in to fix it.
So 2 hours, but Leanne, I could be prepping teeth. What am I going to talk about for 2 hours? Am I doing these on Fridays? Like, when do I do these type of a thing? Those are natural questions that always come up.
All the non-negotiables. So one is, and everybody doesn't like this, but it's just the facts. One is that when we implement team meetings in dental practices, we don't ask you to take extra time that we ask you to use your business hours, in other words. So we ask you to say to the team, this matters so much. I'm willing to take time away from our daily practice to be able to work on the practice. There's an 80-20 principle in business too, that of your 100% of working hours, 20% of those should be used to be working on the business. And usually that equation is just so upside down. Usually we're working on the business 100% of the time. And then our evening time and weekends we use for what should have been the other 20%. And so, you know, teams hold us to the same standard. Do we do this? We do the same thing. Every week we have a 2-hour team meeting. Every day we do a huddle. And it's the time that we use to land the plane and work on it. And I think one of the things that I would say is true for dental practices and also true for us is, and I just was talking with one of my clients that we've been working together for 4 years. 4 years later, they're still using their full 2-hour meetings, 4 years later in coaching, because I think sometimes the idea is, oh, we'll just, you know, we'll do this in the beginning until we've got everything worked out. Because apparently all businesses work out things like after like 6 months.
Oh yeah. Because once you write everything, then you just let it on
then you're good.
Autopilot.
Just press go.
No, but what you're saying is so important, because oftentimes we leave the most important conversations, which are these, about how we're going to improve our practice, to the areas of the week where we have the least amount of energy. So you're trying to do them at the end of the week or the weekend or after the day, which is very unpredictable in times. Our highest producers consistently do this. They put them in time blocks where they could be prepping teeth, and it works for them because they start to do the math on the hours and they think, I'm not wasting these 2 hours. Monday becomes often a day in great restorative practices that lends itself to the least amount of predictability. So we kind of get through Monday and just get acclimated to the week. But once you can start to think, I don't know how you feel today, but our meeting's the same way. Like Mondays, and you and I were talking yesterday. I have a case of Mondays sometimes. Like I had a case of the Mondays yesterday. And I know, like, it's a lot to think about. It's a lot to process. And Tuesday, I'm fine. Like Tuesday, things are back to normal. I've slept in, I worked out, all that kind of stuff. That's really, really important. And our teams consistently tell us when we're coaching them, they come to you all the time and go, Leanne, 2 hours isn't enough time to get all this done.
It happens a lot. It happens a lot. And inevitably, those doctors or those teams who say, we think we can get it done in 90 minutes. And so, you know, we're not the boss of them. They just... with us because they want our expertise. And so every once in a while we say, okay, you know, I'm willing to let you try it and let's see what that try on looks like. Inevitably they come back and say, well, it's fine, except we're not getting anything finished. And so, you know, they often go back to the 2-hour meetings. So let's talk a little bit about what on God's green earth would you do for 2 hours in a team meeting? And I do think that this does require, if you make a commitment to having team meetings, we teach this at our inner circle. This is part of our pro coaching program, that there are non-negotiables and the communication rhythms is one of them. I think that a highly effective team meeting follows structure. And so what I mean by structure is, so with our coaching clients, what it means is they follow an agenda, agreed, documented, and then committed to every week. And we don't go rogue on those agendas, because usually where we find frustration in these communication rhythms is when we don't, I'm going back to it, right? When we don't commit to the boundaries and the set agreements that we made around that, or when we don't honor time, right? When we allow patient appointments to run into the team meeting time, so then we didn't get enough done. Or we schedule a patient, an emergency patient, because they're really awesome and we need to see them. When we start making all the exceptions to what the rule was, and that is that we secured 2 hours. So how you kind of organize that team meeting, I think, is also very similar to what I shared about huddle. It's not necessarily what does ACT say or all the things you have to cover. It's a commitment to those agendas staying, you know, staying on target. Things that we often have practices talk about. One is what goes well in the business. I mean, we do have to start with something positive. Otherwise, it can sometimes be a festival of rants.
Right. And pause right there, because that's a really important point. Because, you know, dentists are often plagued, as I am, by what's not working well. And you can bring that mindset to a meeting, which is not helpful. So you come with a deficit, while these people come with, okay, this is going to be a big day, and, you know, or we're going to be planning a lot of things. I think more than anything is just to set the tone of the meeting and keep it upbeat. We don't celebrate, myself included, don't spend enough time celebrating, like, hey, last week was a really good week. Let's start there. It opens you up for a little bit of gratitude, opens up your heart, and lightens the room. I often don't do a lot of like jokes or things. I like humor, just like, and it's somebody else's humor, you know, like it's like whatever one of our team members is wearing or something they said. I'm like, oh gosh.
Or when we turn huddle into hat day. Were you on huddle?
Did hat day? I wasn't on that day. I got the photos, but like even the photo going around about Barb today, like that's funny stuff. Where it just, laughter is a glue. It's a glue that keeps us all together. So, and you don't always have to do that, but Leanne's right. Like when you're starting a huddle, it's often great. I like the idea. If you're a great restorative practice, you're getting letters consistently from somebody where you change your lives. Just say, hey guys, let me just read something I got yesterday. This is who we are. Thank you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, Google reviews, a shout out to a team member, anything that says like, I mean, energy is palpable. No one can argue that energy is palpable. So whatever you put into the room is often what people feed off of. So why wouldn't we start with something, gratitude or a celebrations? And then we quickly move into sort of organizing how the day is going to go and what, or how the meeting is going to go and what we're going to cover. We typically talk about what's priority on our meeting agenda first. What do we need to get through? What do we need to cover? And then we identify performance indicators and or those metrics that we talk about weekly that are important to know about our progress, about our performance, about what's critical to the practice. So one of the pieces of advice I give practices about that particular category of KPIs is to keep it short and simple. We can have metric mania. And for so many of the dental teams that we work with, there's a host of, a short list, I should say, of KPIs that every practice goes through. And they're almost always lagging indicators, right? They're things that have already happened that we can't really change. And I even found this myself as a clinician. You know, if we talked about yesterday's production, I'm either going to be happy or I'm going to go, oh, crap. And then today I'm going to live in that tension of knowing I can't change what happened yesterday. And so I do think that looking at performance indicators, some lagging are important. We have to know, you know, cash flow in and cash flow out in terms of production and collection. But I also think we should probably monitor other trends that tell us about our future potential, like visit trends, like reappointment trends. Diagnostic and case acceptance trends, because those also give us a much better level of insight on how we might change behaviors within the practice, have different conversations. But I think the bottom line is this, is please, please, please do not choose 9 practice indicators to go through for a team that hasn't ever had data as part of their weekly, you know, team meeting rhythm. So I think that's incredibly important. I think the biggest thing, so we don't overwhelm our team, is if you're going to talk about performance indicators in a team meeting, one, have a purpose to why you're talking about them, right? And then keep it short and simple, 3 to 5 maximum. should be the number of performance indicators we look in. And then the next thing we go into, and I think this is where a lot of team members and doctors will say this is where team meetings aren't worth it, is then we go into things that are priority for the practice for the week, or they're a priority for the practice. When we work with teams, they're a priority for an interval, like a quarter. Mm-hmm. So then we go into working on the tasks and the items that are associated with those important priorities. And think of a priority as being something that we said, an initiative that we said was important in our business that is going to help move our business forward. So it might be, a priority might be something like, we're working on block schedule analysis, new agreements, and implementation, right? Mm-hmm. And so those things that would be associated with that priority would be the tasks like completing schedule analysis, mocking a draft of our block schedule, determining production goals. So all those things would be things that we would do within the team meeting during that priority time to help meet that goal of having a block schedule implemented. And so, and that's what we do with our teams, is we identify what has to happen in the business to move it a little bit forward, right? Move the needle a little bit forward. And then we identify all the tasks associated with it. And that's what we use our team meeting time for.
Absolutely.
I want to talk about one critical thing about team meetings that have to happen. So regardless of how you run that agenda, regardless of how long you have, if there is just one thing that you do in your team meetings, it's this. I'm going to pause and make sure they have their pen and paper.
You're going to keep us hanging on.
It is make sure that every team meeting ends with agreements and actions.
Yes.
Okay. So that might sound like, and you got to give yourself enough time at the end of your team meetings, 10, 15 minutes at the most. So also you can finish up your meeting time and get back to patient time if you have to. What agreements were made, who is doing what, and by when? And I think one of the things we try to do with our practices, we try to have them do those agreements and those actionable items based on the SMART thinking, right? So SMART, setting a SMART goal, which is, it specific enough? Is it measurable? Sometimes it isn't always, right? Is it attainable? Is it realistic? And is it timely? So I really like those. We sometimes you pick and pull which word fits for those action items. But it has to have enough specificity and enough action to it that when you come back to it the next week for your team meeting, you can determine, did that get done? Were we successful? And so I think that's incredibly important.
It's incredibly important because I'm guessing, that's why I'm asking, is that you got to show your team, we're going to spend some time here and we got to GSD, we got to get some stuff done. And then when you can prove to them that we're spending time, we're discussing this, we're coming to a commitment, because often what's left out is a lack of commitment to what was discussed or anything specific. And, I've even created that chaos in our business at times. And then we just hang up and everyone's like, is he okay? Don't talk to him for a week. He'll be fine. Do you know what I mean? Like type of thing.
It might be a lack of commitment, but I would also say it's probably multiple ingredients that go into it. I also think that leaders also tolerate ambiguity. They tolerate it sort of unknowingly or don't yet have the skills to say, so that we're all clear and on the same page, let's talk about these agreements, because, and we have to practice this too, we have to hear what someone is articulating is the thing they're going to go and do to know, does that line up with what we said we wanted? Mm-hmm. I just think the term that I think of is that often we all tolerate ambiguity, because ambiguity is a little easier than forcing clarity in communication. Right. Like, okay, that sounds good. I mean, that sounds good. And because we might have a high level of trust with the team member, we say, they're good, they'll get it done. So I think don't tolerate ambiguity. And I've learned that from our work with Lincioni. And that should be a mantra for everyone on the team. Don't tolerate the ambiguity. Get clarity. Ask what Brené Brown always says, what does done look like? Paint me a picture of what done looks like. I think that's great language that, of course, we borrow from a brilliant mind to determine whether we've got alignment here.
Absolutely. I know one of the bigger ups at Enterprise Rental Cars, and he's a big shot there, and he manages thousands of team members, and he goes into every meeting and says his favorite line, which is specific is terrific, and they all repeat it. And he says vague is the plague. And so it's good to require, like, let's get super specific, because any ambiguity can ultimately become conflict, which will eventually become crisis later on. So
almost always. Not always any, but most. So let's just highlight the last piece that we talked about, which was check-in. And so this term check-ins is, yep, it's another meeting. I can't believe it. These people must be insane that we keep recommending all these meetings.
Right. Now, another thing I got to ask you, because check-in, when I first heard check-in, you can kind of associate that as a flyby, like, hey, I'm just going to go and just say hi. But that's not what you're talking about here.
No, I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about scheduled agreed time where you meet with the leader of your team or your dentist, but the leader of your team to sit one-on-one for full, you know, and supportive feedback. And so these are extremely different than the annual reviews where you're going to sit down and talk about a team member, about whether they are or are not getting a raise. I'm not talking about that one because we don't really believe in that methodology. And that's for another day. But this is a time where you say, what's going on with my team is so important. It matters about their performance. It influences their performance that I want to check in, sit down one-on-one and figure out what's working them in their business world, what's actually working them in their personal world. I'll never forget this. I took a leadership course a couple years ago, and we talk about work-life balance. But it was funny because she addressed this work-life balance thing as being like, really? Because we leave life at home when we come to work. Life doesn't happen at work, but it does. It does come to work. And what we have to learn to do is recreate focus and boundaries when we're at work on what the most important task is here. And so I love these check-ins for the ability to lean into, as a leader, lean into your team and say, what's going on? What's working you? What's working you here at work? And what's working you at home? Both the good and the not so good. So that's usually the first section of the check-in. The second section of the check-in is, what tasks, what things, what items have you been working on since our last check-in that you might need my support on? Or if there's something else, what do you need from your leader? What do you need from your leader? And then usually there's this great exchange of dialogue about where maybe there's sticking points or where, you know, your team member needs more support from you. And then usually the check-in ends by saying new agreements. What are we agreeing to do between now and the next check-in? And they are likely task-related, but they all also may be from a developmental standpoint or a mentoring and supportive standpoint, something that the team member, you know, heard or needs to work on that isn't necessarily get your block schedule done, right? So it might be have a conversation with your team member that you're in conflict with, start the conversation. So I think one of the biggest things about check-ins that team members have, doctors have a tendency to want to push up against is it's not a gab session. There is important to have boundaries. It is important to have an agreed agenda and that the team member fills it out, this agreed agenda, prior to, and that you follow the agenda. I know it might seem like it's not as organic, but we want them to be, I want them to be a conversation of connection, but one of focus too. Otherwise, it might feel like a gab session.
Yeah. And personally, I mean, there's a lot of great things about it. The thing I like about it most is the team member runs the meeting as opposed to me trying to write out, here's what I want you to work on. Let me show you your numbers. Let me show you what you've been up to. It requires more thinking on the team member's part. And you as a dentist or the leader or the coach, you can just show up and say with the mindset of, hey, look, how do I help you? How can I help you succeed here? And you can also say to yourself, hey, look, it's a scheduled appointment. Now, I think everybody that would be watching this, because they're probably educationally minded, would say, look, I do want to care about my team members. And this is a great way to look at it, where it's not an effort, it's actually a system. So we do them every 2 weeks. It's not really possible for dentists to do them every 2 weeks, maybe once every month or every other month, but it's a scheduled time where you have 30 minutes, the team member runs a meeting, and go, how are you doing personally? How are you doing professionally? Here's a couple things I want you to work on. Here's some expectations. Now, how can I help you? High five. Let's get the next one scheduled. And the most important part of any two-weeker for us is just having the next one on the schedule. So I love what you're saying. It is really, because, you know, we've heard this said so many times. What do you believe? And then the second question is, what do you do that supports what you believe? And if you really believe you care about team members, what do you do on a regular basis that shows us that you care about them and you've created a cadence, not an effort, to connect with them and help them succeed?
Right, right. And I think let's go back to the very first thing as we wrap this up is, everyone says they want improved communication. Everyone says it. The differentiator is those who are willing to kind of trudge through the mud, have the difficult conversations, commit to the time that it does take to build these improved relationships, commit to some boundaries and agreement, and then don't be attached to the idea that they go perfectly awesome, because they don't. They actually probably never will. But they will improve over the time and the commitment and the discipline to stick with them. And I think we're proof of that even ourselves, as we dial in more and more our own communication rhythms. And you see it happen all the time. We start working with teams and it is the first celebration and the win that teams come back to us and say, like, I cannot believe it. I was freaking out over 2-hour team meetings and I don't know how we ever lived without them. And our huddles are better. And so I think, you know, communication, you can't live with it and you can't live without it.
Absolutely. So you heard it first. I mean, this is a brilliant woman. If you're not listening, then you're just not paying attention to what's working in the world. You know, typically when people come to us in a coaching, you know, situation, they're dentists that mean well, they are lifelong learners, they're stuck, but their problems usually come back to three things: money, time, or team communication issues. Yeah. And this is certainly the prescription to help you improve it. Is it going to be perfect? No, but it's the path. So, LA,
any money, time, or culture, for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Any other thoughts that you would, or advice you'd give a young 32-year-old dentist watching this for the first time, who's just trying to create a better practice in
your life? I know this is going to sound cheesy, but I would think the one thing that I have discovered, and we've discovered it ourselves, is you can't go it alone. No. You need a mentor, you need somebody who can sort of give you that third party vantage point, help you see the things you don't want to see or don't want to, you know, or just walk around with your blinders on. And that's true in personal training, right? It's true in you had a speaking coach, we have a coach. I just think, you know, that person who can gently intervene to continue to keep you on your path is critical in personal development and professional. Yeah.
And get this, we're a coaching company. And guess what we have?
A coach.
A coach. I would never try this on my own. You're crazy. Like, you're crazy to try to build a business on your own. So quarterly, we have our own coach comes in quarterly, and we just put it out there, and a good coach can control the room, help you organize things, and you keep making progress quarter over quarter. And that's the whole idea. You don't want a perfect practice. You just need a practice that makes progress and gives you more of what you want out of your life. So if you're struggling, you're stuck, don't just sit there and stay stuck. Raise your hand, talk to an amazing woman like this, or get some help. And we highly encourage you guys to do that. So
there's a great quote by Brené Brown, and she says, and this is true about all humans, right? Don't go it alone. We were never meant to be.
Never. Could you imagine trying to have a child by yourself? I mean, people do it.
Oh boy.
Raising kids with help. It's too hard. You need help. We are designed as relational beings. We need the help of others to reach our full potential, and everybody in dentistry knows
that way.
So, LA, thank you so much for being on. Best practices. High five. You heard it?
Yep.
So that gives you a little insight. We're always looking for the best practices of the best practice to help you guys create a better practice and better life. Keep sending us suggestions for things that you want to see. If you have specific questions for Leanne, add them to the feed. She's amazing. She'll be able to get back to you. LA is going to be back again and again and again. We're going to cover other topics. If there's something you're struggling with, just let us know, and we're happy to help you out and create a show. And until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day.
Mm-hmm.